What is up, beautiful people? Late with Nate here. Welcome to episode 24. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Today's story time, I will be talking about when I was 18 and I broke my virginity. Now that it's been like literally 10 years, it's been a decade. Man, I look at life way differently. And people and stuff. But ultimately, the reason why I broke my virginity, because let's face the facts. I am Nate the Great, but people didn't and even still don't see how great I am. So I wasn't getting pussy, I wasn't getting dick like that, you know what I'm saying? Ultimately for me, I just felt like, man, I was 18 years old, I was a virgin, and, you know, everybody, all my peers have been had sex, like, they have been had sex at, like, 13, 14, you know, so they, like, 5 years ahead of me, and then I'm thinking, like, oh, shit, I'm almost 20, and I haven't had sex. You know, am I a weirdo? Am I a freak? Am I going to turn into a pervert? It was so many. Man, it's sad though, because I really did. I cared about what people thought. Like, it was the whole reason why I had sex in the first place. Because it was like, my 18th birthday came around, and then it was like a week, it was like 8 days after my 18th birthday, I was like, you know what, I'm 18 years old, I'm officially an adult, legally an adult, and I have yet to have sex with anybody. Like, you know, I don't know, like, back in the day, it was just different. Like, the 90s and the early 2000s, like, it was different because, you know, social media was, like, really at its peak as far as, like, all these different apps that was coming out. And websites and social media was really a thing. Like, people was really posting their life. Because, you know, think about it. The early 2000s. Like, the early 2000s. In the 90s, we weren't using the internet like that. It was information, porn, knowledge, you know, things of that nature. We weren't using it for apps. Because, I mean, ultimately, social media was invented for the government to keep track on its citizens. I mean, let's face the fact. I mean, we can notice that when, like, let's say there are reports of, like, let's say a nigga flexing on the internet, right? And he got a gun, or he trying to kill somebody, things of that nature. And he go flex on the internet, like, haha. The government, the police department, the government, they looking at that shit. And they'll instantly, like, get him. Or show up at where he was located, or track his IP address. So with that being said, like, everybody knows at this point, Nate, especially with Facebook. I think they even said Facebook, with Facebook, it tracks and sends all the information to the government. You know, that's how Mark Zuckerberg gets paid so much for every post that somebody puts on his app. You know, he gets paid to legally release people's personal information. You know, they send it to the government. It's just like a watch thing, like, oh, what you doing type thing. Because you have the power not to post. But it's like, if you don't post, you feel like you're not part of the club. Like, you know, even I knew a person who, when I first met him, he didn't have a social media. But even he has one now. You know, now, of course, it's just for business. But even he got a social media. Because it's like people that don't have cell phones. At this day and age, you at least need a cell phone for emergency purposes. Like, if you need to call somebody, the police, you know, things of that nature. So I think everybody got a cell phone at this day and age, you know what I mean? So that's equivalent to that. Like, social media was invented to track everybody's information. But with that being said, I just remember, like, early 2000s, I would go up to the library and I would go on Facebook and I would talk to people. And, you know, you see all of this, it look good on the surface type shit. You know, like, I don't know I think we still go through this. You go on social media, you look at somebody's life and you see them in a relationship and you're like, oh, my life sucks. I don't have anybody. I'm gonna live alone. I'm never gonna find anybody. And, you know, now I can look at it and be like, you know what, that's not for me. You know, a lot of times people have to realize, like, what you don't have wasn't meant for you in the first place. So stop beating yourself up. If it's meant to be, it'll be. You know what I mean? Like, you trying to force this image upon you, and then, like, let's say you get that dream guy or that girl you like, because you're assuming that it's going to work out for you. And then you get the person or you get the thing. Like, you ever wanted something so bad, and then once you get it, then it's like, oh, that's not what I thought. Or, nah, I don't want it at all. You know? And that's how sometimes social media is. You know, we look at it for the surface. We look at it as basically, hey, let's stand in front of this camera, let's smile and give off this image of perfection. But what people don't realize is, like, as soon as the camera go off, they stop smiling. They get in separate cars, they got separate houses, they don't talk to each other, they divorced. You know what I mean? It's always a scandal. And honestly, the early 2000s, I just got wrapped up in the humdrum of looking at everybody. So what I did was, 8 days after my birthday, I went on Facebook and I was talking to this guy. Now, I won't give no names, because he was on the DL. But it was literally a decade ago. I'm 28 this year. I was 18. But just out of respect for the gay community, I'll keep it hush hush. But yeah. Now, y'all, those who don't know me, this is about to be a funnier story time. Because long story short, I have cerebral palsy, so I slouch, and it's hard for me to walk long distances. So I need a wheelchair. Like, if it's not around the house, and it's not like a you going from one building to the next, I'm not going downtown to walk around. I'm not going to the mall to walk around. You know, that type of shit. Like, I can get around. I can do everyday, daily stuff. I'm just not about to go on a 2-hour walk around the mall or walk around the grocery store for 6 hours and chit-chat. Like, no. So for long, long distances, I needed a wheelchair. And what happened was, so I was on Facebook, and I talked to this guy, whatever, and he was hitting me up. And, you know, I'm flirting with him, acting like I know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, keep in mind, I'm a virgin. I was a virgin, so I don't got no game. I barely got game now. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not about to be out here talking crazy or nothing, but I was flirting with him or whatever. And so we talking, and he like, okay, let's link up or whatever. And what happened was, I was just ready. I wasn't ready, but I was like, my subconscious was ready. My conscious mind was not ready, because my conscious mind understood the logical aspect of what I was doing, and I wasn't about that life. But my subconscious was like, we need to get this over with. Like, I have all these feelings and all these urges, but ultimately, before I get into the story, I do regret throwing away my virginity, because I am such a cautious, careful, resourceful, you know, listen to your body, pay attention to other people type person. So it's like, to be that careless starting off, oh my god, that just broke my heart. But you know, I've been loving myself for a solid year. Solid 2 years. And it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard to look back at some of my situations, but it's like, I didn't love myself, so I was desperate. You know, I was desperate for needing somewhere to belong and finding my soulmate and blah, 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 blah. And here we are 10 years later. And I'm still haven't found my soulmate. You know, so now, you know, now that I look at it, my life is teaching me work on yourself. You know, I done been through my little rite of passage through my 20s, because child, I done lost everybody imaginable. It's like my life did a whole reset. Like, reset, wash. Like, whoa, that person wasn't good, this wasn't good. Thought I was going in this direction, then I went this way. So with all that being said, it's like, it's just time to focus on me. It's just time to focus on what makes Nate happy. And not all that optimistic, hopeful dreaming on the first end. Just focus on, like, everyday stuff for me. Like, doing my podcast, working on my career, getting into my music, doing voiceovers, making money, smoking weed, chilling with my dogs, playing my video game, getting tattoos, going to a new beach. You know, things of that nature. I can do all of those things alone. I don't need another person there. And it makes me happy. And yeah, it's simple things. I do have a somewhat simple life. But There's people out here that got a whole lot of drama, and they never seem to have a break or get to rest. You know, I don't want a whole life where it's like always something popping off and this, that, and the third. Like, that's too much. And not in this day and age, honey. All these crazy ass motherfuckers out here. You know what I'm saying? So it's something. It's something, because I look back at it and, man, life is just, life has always led me right back to myself. Like, every bad relationship, every stupid situation, every bad person, it always led me back to myself. But I didn't start listening to me until 2 years ago. I didn't start listening to me until 2020. You know? And I'm really sorry it took me that long. But I'm grateful it didn't take me longer. You know? And now I'm really pushing towards working on me and just, like, because I'm going to keep it real. Like, I was really fucking content as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, most kids, they always have to, like, have something to entertain them. I was so simple. Like, if you gave me some snacks, and I was, like, a weird kid. Like, I love Flamin' Hot Cheetos, or the hot fries, or the onion rings, whatever. And you could give me those and a block of medium cheddar cheese and sit me in front of the TV. I play my video game, or I'm over here watching my cartoons on the weekend. I was a happy little clam. You know, I had my little quirkiness about me. Like, I still loved music even as a kid. I was into nights and things of that nature. Like, I have my own little quirky personality about me. And ultimately, like, I spent 90% of my childhood minding my fucking business. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to have a bunch of friends and always be going out to a party. I never went to a party. I mean, as an adult, yes, I've went to a party. Like, once I got older, once I got, like, 18, I went to a couple parties and, you know. But as a kid, like, I never snuck out the house and was like, oh, I'm going to be rebellious and get arrested. One, I'm looking at the fact that I'm disabled. Two, I'm looking at the fact that I'm black. And with all this police brutality going on, I would have probably been a kid that got shot. You know, because right around the time that, because, like, let's say, the Trayvon Martin shit, that was, what, 2006? Obama came into office in 2008. And I was, like, 14. So, let's say the year I start going out, hanging out with friends, being stupid. I probably would have been one of those kids that got shot wearing a hoodie. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't do that shit. And then, especially now, like, we in the middle of a pandemic. We don't know when this shit gonna end. Because it kind of remind you of the early 1900s. But that pandemic, I don't even want to look up how long it lasted. And I don't even think this coronavirus is gonna go away. Because it keep mutating. And it don't go away with the temperature. Like, you know how a cold will be like, okay, when you get warm, you're not going to be sick no more. You know, it's hot, it's fresh, got clean air, it rains, so it's filtering out the air. It's not even that no more. People got flus, people got allergies, people got corona, and all of those share similar symptoms. You know, all three of those things are very different, but share similar symptoms. So, I'm over it. I ain't go outside then, and I'm really not about to go out now. But Yeah, all the bullshit. It just really, it rung me right back to me. So I think that's what life is teaching me. Is to just do you. Like, don't do it in a sad way. Don't do it like, oh my God, like, no, really do this shit. Cause you not a party animal. You know, like talking to myself, like, I'm not a party animal. You know, I don't have 50, 60 friends. I don't go to every social event. You know, I'm not drunk out in public. Like, I might get a little tipsy in my house. Like, you know what I'm saying? But going to a party around a group of people getting drunk and passing out, that's a nightmare. Not a blessing. But yeah, all that to be said. So back to the story. I'm talking to this guy, whatever. And so he had, like, at the time, I was on the west side and he was on the east side. So he was like literally on the other side of the city. And I'm like, I'm going to make this happen today. Like, I'm going to make it happen. And so he's like, oh, I got to work in a minute. This, that, and the thing. And I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. And I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. You know how you're trying to think of something and then like your brain just went whoop? But yeah, so I'm like, I'm sitting there like, I'm gonna make this happen. I'm not gonna be 18 or virgin. Like, I feel like a freak. So I'm like, he like, oh, I gotta go to work in a couple hours. I'm like, it's okay. I'll meet you there. You know, being desperate, being out. I mean, this would make me laugh. How you start off being a hoe and you're not even a good one? Like, boy, you know you ain't about this life. You was not
put on this earth to be like everybody else. You know?
Cause y'all, listen, I wanna give me an OnlyFans and run me the 100+K a month and buy me a new house and, you know what I'm saying? Shit. But it come with a price. Like, I don't know if I wanna be known for being naked in this lifetime. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna feel about myself at the end of the day. But it's like everybody doing them and they make it's good money. Child, if things was different, honey, I'm not gonna lie, cause for me, like, having the OnlyFans is, like, just so simple. You don't even have to have people in there. You just literally make money busting the nut. Whether you're a girl or a guy, you making money getting hard. Like, come on. But it come with it. You know, I don't even fucking know. But anyway. So I'm over there being a slut and I'm like, oh, I'll meet you there. He was like, you don't have to. He was like, I don't mind. So I couldn't get there. I couldn't roll there. I mean, I couldn't like ride there. So I had to roll and walk there. At the time I had a wheelchair. So I rolled from the west side to the east side. Now, luckily, it was some people that had came along and they saw me rolling or whatever. And I was like, oh, do you need a ride? And it was like, they helped me get through like maybe part of the way, like maybe 20% of the way there. I was already 80% there. And they had helped me get through the rest. But just to show how dumb this was, like, I rolled in my wheelchair in the middle of the freeway. And I crossed the freeway in my wheelchair. Just to get to a Jew's house, like, it was really bad. Like, that was a really low moment for me, you know, mentally. Like, man. But either way, I made it across the fucking speedway. And I almost got hit by traffic, but he stopped. He was a little concerned while I'm on the freeway in a wheelchair crossing the street in what's not a car. But it's like, eh. I get across the freeway and so now I'm just rolling and I'm rolling and I'm rolling and I'm rolling. And then those people came along and they helped me get most of the way. And so here's how it get funny. So I make it to his house, whatever. And he's not home because he's at work. Like you said, he was going to work, whatever. So I'm like, okay. And what I do is, he's got these next door neighbors or whatever. So the next door neighbors come and knock on the door. I say, our brother's in here. But he's not home yet. Could you please, kind of come in for a second until he gets back? I'm just making up all these lies. But whatever, they fell for it because we was both chocolatey. You know, I'm milk chocolate, he was dark chocolate. So they kind of put two and two together, like, oh, you look like him too. How? I ain't never seen this man in my life, in real life, until right now. But okay. So I'm chilling in their house, and it was cute because it was like, it was another black family, and it was her and her husband. And they were an older couple. They was like maybe 50, early 60s. And, you know, so they're just like, oh, you handsome. It's like, oh, thank you. You want some water? Like, they give me some water. Because it was hot. Keep in mind, like I said, this was 8 days after my birthday. So this was like the 30th of July. You know what I'm saying? I knew it wasn't August yet. It was still July. So it's hot as hell. You know, it's in the middle of the peak of the summer. And I literally just spent 2 hours rowing in a wheelchair clear across the other side of the city. Child. But anyway, so I chill in his neighbor's house for maybe about 40 minutes. They didn't mind because, like I said, it was the summertime. They ain't had no job. They retired. And it was the summertime, so they weren't working. Like, they ain't had nothing to do. And I believe it was the weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I'm literally going to have to go back a decade and look up the date so I can tell, but I think it was the weekend. So like after 45 minutes, whatever, he show up, whatever. So I come out their house and I come at his house. So I see him, whatever, he like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, hey, what's up? Cool. So what happened was I get in there and it had been too much time. Like, I had the adrenaline rush when I got there, when I was rolling there. But when I sat down, I had been sitting there for a good hour. Now my adrenaline rush is down. You know, now the logic is kicking in. And now, I leave it at the fact that I don't got no money to get back home. I'm hoping that this dude is gonna take me back, or, you know, halfway, something like that. And I still lived at home with my mom. So, and she was not supporting the gay thing at all. So I was really sneaking around doing it. And then I felt bad about it because I'm like, you ain't about this life and you just gave up your virginity. But that's what I was going through. Like, once he pulled up and he was like, I'm here, and I went inside, it was like, okay, now I'm nervous. And I was irritated that I was nervous, because I'm like, why have all this now? You didn't feel nothing. You were neutral. And now you freaking out. But that's my warning signs. It was like telling you, danger, danger, danger. But luckily, he wasn't, like, he was clean. You know, it wasn't no bad stuff like that. It was just like, you don't know him. He don't know you. He don't know your body. He don't care about you. You know what I'm saying? And ultimately, like, when I first went to his house, it was completely quiet and dark. That made me a little nervous, but it was like, okay, maybe he just closed up, you know, closed up his house because he not there. He at work or whatever. The first thing was, I saw him in a portrait with a girl, with a white girl. So I'm thinking like, oh, is this your girlfriend's house? I'm like, oh, wow. This nigga really on a deal because he got a whole girlfriend now. And then I saw this, he had a tether on his ankle from, you know, like, you on house probation type shit, like Madea. And, you know, I'm just like, ooh, he like in trouble with the law. I remember looking at his ankle and I saw that and I was like, oh my god, he in trouble with the law. Like, he dangerous. He a thug. So I was a little nervous about that. But ultimately, like, what he did was, like, I took my chair or whatever and I folded it and I put it on his desk. I mean, I put it on his porch. And so when he got back, he saw my chair and he brought it in for me. He was like, oh, I'm gonna put it in the kitchen. I mean, put it in the living room. I was like, okay, thank you. And so we get on the couch and I'm sitting there and I still got my coat and stuff on. Like, clutching my pearls. You know, nervous as shit. And, you know, he get down to business, like, he in his drawers or whatever, and he sit on the couch. Now, I'm not gonna lie, he had a big dick. Like, that shit, it was tasty, it was girthy. Lord have mercy. But, and he wasn't bad to look at. He was pretty good to look at. He was nice. But his breath stank. And I'm chewing some gum right now, ironically, but his breath stinks so bad. And I was like, why did you not brush your teeth? Or, I mean, it was rank, rank, rank. So that was That was really hard. Like, I was just like, can I go up and stick your dick down? Because, like, I don't want you to touch me. Like, he was trying to, like, you know, put me in little positions or whatever. But I was like, just put me on my stomach because your breast stink. And then it was like, when I was like, when we were trying to fuck or whatever, like, my body was nervous. Like, I had never did this before, and I was sweating so much. I was sweating so much. Like, there was so much sweat. My back was drenched. Like, drenched in sweat. Because my body was like, what is happening? And it was basically like, it got halfway in. Like, it didn't go all the way. It got like, it went halfway in. And he did it for like 20 minutes. It was really painful. And I didn't like it at all. Like, I have yet to, I mean, I'm a sensual crab Cancer. You know, I'm all lovey-dovey, massages, body touches and feelings and G-spots, all that. But most niggas, especially in the gay community, like, they not trying to do all that sensual shit. They trying to fuck, get a nut, and move on. And yeah, that definitely fucked up. Like, my first experience of how everything is done, you know what I mean? Like, now sucking his dick was great. It was beautiful. But the rest of the experience was really, oof. I remember while I was sucking his dick, I had to go in the bathroom real quick. And I literally just was like, man, what are you doing? But it was crazy because it was like when I was going there, you know, I was all like, oh, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to get it over with. Okay, get it over with. And now I'm sitting here like, no. Moral of the fucking story, don't give up your virginity. Because ultimately it's like, my first time was like literally a 4 out of 10. You know, it was literally a 4 out of 10. And that was partially on me, you know, because I'm a sensual person. So naturally I would have taken somebody who, you know, it was more sensual and connected with me. But instead, I just threw it away. Because I thought I was a weirdo by being a virgin. And now I look at it like, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be 28 and still be a virgin. But I wouldn't have mind going into my 20s being a virgin. Now, by the time I'm 21, okay, we need to something. Shit. A hand job or something. Goddamn, but I would have been okay going into my 20s without, you know, but I didn't wait. I wasn't patient, you know. And then it's like, you know, you give in to the social media, like you see everybody else's life and things, and you give in to the peer pressure. And that's really all that was. So as crazy as this is, I'm not done. So he tried to fuck me for like 20-40 minutes, and my back is just drenched in sweat. So after doing that for a little bit, he was just like, alright, I gotta get back to work. But you can chill here and relax. Now, keep in mind, he had a girlfriend and he had some other stuff going on, obviously. So he was like, you just stay here and I'll come back and get you later. I'm like, okay, cool. Then he come back like 2 minutes later. He was like, come on, I feel like I should take you home, or you should just wait for somebody to come get you, because I'm not going to be home until later. I'm like, okay, cool. Cool, no problem. So I go up to his job, and I sit there, and I wait for my mom to come get me. Because now I have to get enough moxie to tell my mom that I need her to get me on the other side of the city. And it was just really, really, it was really shitty. It was just a really shitty time. For me to just get it over with, I did it in not the worst way, but it wasn't the best way at all. Because it was even dumber, because like what happened was like my phone was running out of minutes, right? The last thing I texted him was that I was a virgin and I gave my virginity to him, and it was the dumbest thing I ever said. And I hate that I ever did. Like, it was like, because now that I know, like, how niggas are with, like, how they treat people after they have sex with them, like, it don't matter if you're a man or a woman. Like, they will dog you out and talk shit about you about it. Like, haha, I smashed. You know? Another one. Type shit. And it was just a really sad time. Because, like, for one, I had to call mom. And so I'm at it was the Taco Bell at the time. So I'm at Taco Bell, and then it was like, he didn't even make me no food. He didn't make me no tacos. Like, I really got played. I literally showed up at his house. He didn't give me no money for gas. He ain't make me no food, nothing. But that's not, now I look at it like that. I didn't look at it like he was supposed to do something for me, you know, because I wasn't paying attention to my worth, you know what I mean? But ultimately, I sit there for like 30 minutes because I'm like, I'm nervous as shit. I'm really contemplating everything that I did for that day. And I'm nervous and I'm just unsure about stuff. But everything's happening so fast and I don't want to overthink too much because I want to enjoy the moment. Like, I wanted to enjoy my first time experience and not be so dwelling on everything that went wrong. But it was the fact that I was thinking about all the stuff that was wrong that was like, was this the right decision to make? You know, was it the right decision to make? I don't know. I mean, now I realize absolutely not. One, he could have had germs. Two, he had a tether on him, so he was in and out of jail or in trouble with the law. You don't need that type of drama. And yeah, it's all fun to deal with a thug until they come up dead or they kill somebody and they in and out of jail. So, no. Then he had a white girlfriend in a picture frame. So you had a whole family and you on a DL. And, you know, it's just, a whole lot. And I'm just a little newbie. You know, I'm just a little newbie coming out the woodworks. Like, hey, nice to meet everybody. Like, Oh, Lord have mercy. So, after like half an hour sitting in the Taco Bell, I called my mom, and I told her that I was on the other side of the city and I needed her to come and pick me up. And she did. It took her like 45 minutes to get there because she didn't know exactly which Taco Bell I was at. But she found me and I got in the car. And my mom knew already, because like I don't go nowhere, I don't talk to nobody, I don't go anywhere, I don't do shit, you know. But she knew already, and that's what made it worse. Because now that I was hopped up for all my adrenaline, and what I came to do was over. Now I'm looking at all the logic, or lack thereof, and you know, now I'm looking, you know, not directly, because like when I got in the car, we just turned the music on. She asked me if I was okay, and then we just kind of sat in silence. We didn't talk. I didn't want to say anything to her. She didn't want to say anything to me. But she knew. She knew exactly what happened. So we sit in the car really awkward for like another half an hour. And then we got home and we kind of talk about it, because it's like, okay, we need to talk about what happened. But one thing that really made a mark in defining, which was the mark of the beginning of Nate, you are alone in this world, and that's not a bad thing, but you have to understand the value of being you. This is the beginning. Because now, naturally, like when you go through a situation like that, at least when it's your first time, whether you're a guy or a girl, your family is going to be most of the time supportive. You know, whether your dad gonna be like, hey, that's my man, you know, something like that, or your mom is like, you know, you didn't get the girl pregnant, y'all stay clean, right? You know, y'all was being good. It's gonna be some type of neutral attitude. But for me it was a lot different. Like I said, my biological mother is homophobic, like extremely. She does not like the gay community at all. Which is kind of funny, because we used to watch things like Cheech and Too Wong Fu. We used to watch the funny skits off Reno 911. We used to watch shows that had, you know, gay content, but it wasn't a like, ooh, we're looking at it to look at it. It was like, ha, look at these funny characters, ha ha, funny. We laugh, and it's cute. You know, it was always cute until it hit home, until it was personal, and that's what she said. It was all fun and games until it was too close to home. So my mom is the type of person where, you know, she could talk about fat people, obese people, cancer people. You could talk about people that's gay or that's got all these fucked up situations until it happened to you. And then that's not funny no more. And basically, my mom treated me like a teenager. I'm sitting here, you know, confused, because I mean, I'm 18, I don't really have a social life, and I'm kind of socially awkward, and I just wanted to get this over with. But now I'm having all these feelings of confusion and doubt. And instead of my mom being supportive, she was just really cold and distant. Like, she was just like, I can't look at you the same. I can't love you the same. You know, because, like, now you're really gay. Like, before, it was like, oh, I just have gay tendencies. Like, oh, I look at porn or whatever. But now it's like, oh, you slept with a man. You know, like, you are officially a homo. And I think my mom, she just couldn't be mature about it at all. She still can't. Like, for example, I was sitting there a little, you know, distraught and a little confused and a little, you know, because really it was just about like, okay, how do I feel about myself? You know, am I in a relationship now? Do I have a boyfriend? You know, am I going to be able to handle all of this emotionally on my own? Because I don't have any support, you know, from my family. So it's like, can I do this on my own? Am I going to be okay? And ultimately, my mom was really, like, sarcastic and condescending. Like, she'd be like, so, do you have a boyfriend now? And I was like, well, I guess so. And she just started busting out laughing. Like, she was kind of, like, asking me questions to lead me to a yes or no. And then when I said it, like, oh, I guess, like, yeah. You know, trying to be confident but not really feeling confident. She, like, burst into tears, like, ha ha ha. Like, you're a fucking idiot. And I understand now. Like, now I can look at it and be like, yeah, that wasn't the smartest choice, Nate. But it was just a lack of, like, disrespect. Like, she literally looked me in the face and was like, I don't love you the same. I can't look at you the same. She didn't even give me a hug. Like, I tried to hug her, and she wouldn't hug me back. And it was the first time that I saw my mom for who she really was, and not for all the emotional humbum bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I always will tell people, like, it's two relationships that you have: who you thought they were and who they really are. And I started to realize who my mom was once I became something she didn't want me to be. You know? Once I wasn't a yes man and following everything she said and doing everything she wanted, now I'm her enemy. But yeah, it was a really rough time. And that was really just the start of our downfall. Like, that was the start of the end of our relationship. And after that, it was like, what, I was 23, 24. And yeah, cause I was like 24. Yeah, I was 24, so yeah, like, Six years later, we parted ways, and it's been this year will be 4 years. Yeah, this year will be 4 years, and it's been a doozy. It's definitely been a fucking doozy. I'm gonna tell you that right now. But, you know, I'm grateful because, you know, I'm on this self-healing, self-love journey. And I've always been a self-healing, self-love type of person. Like, I've always took care of me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need a bunch of friends growing up to be happy. Like, I was content being by myself, doing my own shit. It was only until I got older that I started to feel like maybe I am a weirdo. Maybe I do need to do
what everybody else doing.
But that didn't make me happy either. So it all just leads me back to myself, and I'm grateful for that, because I know there's people out there that's 3 times my age and still lost and still fucking everything that walks and still feeling like you gotta find love through somebody else. Like, no. Because that's all that was. Like, the needing approval from my mom to, oh, you accept me so I don't have to feel bad for being gay, right? Or, you love me, right? You won't leave me. Because ultimately, the funny thing was, like, the next day, like, I went up there and I talked to the dude on Facebook, and I was like, so, you know, what are we in a relationship, you know, when can I see you again? And he just ghosted me. And then I was just like, you know, that's not cool. Like, if you didn't want to fuck me nowhere, that's all you had to say. Boobity 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 boop. And then, like, a couple days after that, he was just like, nigga, I was just getting a fucking nut. Like, you's a whore. You's acting like a hoe. But it was the honest reality check. Because, like, it was like, Nate, you're not about this life. You know? That's why hoes is hoes, because they just there for a good time, not a long time. You know what I'm saying? That's why they come and they eat, they leave. Just like bus life, they come, they eat, they leave. You know? It's like, and I understand that, but that's why my mom was laughing at me when I was like, "Oh, you think you in a relationship? You think somebody care about you?" But that's still not the type of behavior that you need to have for your son or your daughter. Like, you need to be mature about the situation, because, like, let's say I was really, really dramatic and I start giving into drugs and alcohol and, you know, really being giving into sex, that could have spiraled, you know? I mean, thank God that I'm the one. Who is nervous about STDs and AIDS and HIV and uncurable STIs and things of that nature. I'm the one who keeps myself in check. You know, I had to tell my brothers and sisters growing up, you know, be careful out here. It ain't all cute, fun and games. People got cooties and you can't get rid of them all. You know, I'm the one that taught myself that. So, I just think that people need to be more mature about how they handle situations, because I'm already an emotional person, and if I didn't have a conscience, like, it would be bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I really let myself go and got suicidal off of that, like, that would have been really bad. But ultimately what happened is I lay low for a while, and then towards the end of my 18th birthday, I was talking to somebody else, and then that turned into a whole nother drama, but that led me to another step in my life, you know? But ultimately, yeah, my first time was horrible. Horrible. Because it was just... I was mentally ready and physically ready. I just picked the wrong person. I rushed everything. You know, it's just, I went about it so wrong. But the moral of the story is, love yourself. Keep your virginity for as long as you can. And always remember that your soulmate is out there. You just have to stay patient. Stay consistent, and while you're waiting on your soulmate, work on yourself. We are coming up on the last 20 seconds, and I just wanted to say thank you all for listening. I managed to really talk for a whole hour, which was nice. I didn't ramble this time and start talking about a whole nother side story like I normally do. But as always, guys, I love you. I will talk to you later. Peace, love, light, good night.